Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be back with you today, and alongside me is the Minister for Health and Social Care. Today, I will be looking forward to the changes that are coming up soon. Some of these you already know about, and there will be at least one that will be new to you. I would also like you just to take stock of what few restrictions remain in place and give you a clear line of sight on when those might change. First of all, I will ask the Minister to bring us today's numbers. David.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The total number of tests undertaken now stands at 5,433. We have 18 people awaiting results, so the total number of tests concluded stands at 5,415. Our total number of cases confirmed remains at 336, still no active cases and no one currently within the hospital. Chief Minister.
Thank you very much, David. So, 22 days with no cases. Does this mean that we have eliminated COVID from the island for the time being? Possibly. It is really difficult to be categorical about that. But even the most cautious of us agree, and David is one of those most cautious of all, that even if we do have any transmission still happening among our community, it can only be at an exceptionally low level. Will we see the odd case pop up again in the future? Possibly. But as the Health Minister reminded us all yesterday, if we do see the odd case or two over the coming weeks or months, this is not a sign of failure. If we did have a small outbreak in the future, would we have to go back to full lockdown? Unlikely. We have testing and contact tracing ready to go. We might have to bring back some measures in some places, a particular area or a school or business, for example. And we may have to bring in some measures across the island. But it would be difficult to imagine us going back to where we were in March. But does the current situation mean that we can be a lot bolder in removing the measures we have in place? Definitely. We want to get out of these restrictions as soon as we can. We want to get our society and economy going. This was the clear message at the meeting of the Council of Ministers this morning. We have all done an incredible job getting to where we are. Some people have accused us of keeping restrictions in place for too long. People have compared us to other jurisdictions. At the start, it was Germany, sometimes it was South Korea, other times it was our Channel Island friends. More often now, it is New Zealand, and for good reason. The people and the government of New Zealand have done an exceptional job, of which they should be very proud. But as you've all heard me say all too often, the solution for our island community was not German, Korean or Kiwi. We chose a Manx solution for our Manx situation. We have trod a cautious line so far, and I know that and make no excuses. I believe that on the whole we made the right decisions at the right time to protect our island from the virus. The time has come for us to take a new set of decisions, this time to protect our society, our economy and our very way of life. Now I've already made a number of announcements about changes that were due on Monday the 15th of June. It was always going to be a significant day. From Monday, restaurants and cafes will be able to offer indoor as well as outdoor dining. Pubs that can operate as a restaurant with a food-driven service can also do so from Monday. From Monday, gyms can open. We are going to just ask that those high-intensive aerobic activity classes just hold off for a short while yet. From Monday, all nurseries, playgroups and childminders can accept all children as long as they have appropriate risk assessments in place. You know all of this already. But given the strong position we find ourselves in at the moment, the Council of Ministers decided to take a long, hard look at the restrictions that we still have in place. I have told you before that we don't want to be meddling any more than we absolutely need to. The time has come to take a big step out of your life. Today we have given the green light to all the changes that we had already announced and have decided to go further. What do I mean? Early next week, you will have achieved 28 days without a new case on the island. Why is 28 significant? Because it has doubled the 14 days that is widely considered to be the maximum incubation period of COVID-19. This is the point where we would be able to say that we have achieved what public health colleagues have described as local elimination of the virus. But this long period of no new cases would tell us that the likelihood of the virus circulating in our community was incredibly low, that we were as close to 100% free as is possible without a vaccine. The Council of Ministers carefully considered what this means for us. We have decided that we are ready to remove any legal requirement for social distancing from the 15th of June. Now, we know this is a bold step. We believe it is the right one at the right time. Our principal objective from the start of this pandemic has to be to protect our most vulnerable people. This has not changed. We have therefore decided that while the removal of the legal obligation for social distancing would be removed across all aspects of our community, we would maintain it and the need for PPE in health and care environments, in care and residential homes, and other environments that protect our vulnerable. We will keep this under review. We know that this will make a real difference to all our lives. It will allow our society to come back together. It will allow our economy to thrive. It will also help our schools as they start to increase the numbers of children coming in each day. This will allow greater flexibility for head teachers to increase numbers, which I know will be most welcome by many parents. I know that this might get some getting used to. Social distancing has become such a part of our lives. And let me be clear, it may well come back to 1 metre as we had originally planned if our cases increase once again to a level of concern. I would ask everyone to continue to bear this in mind and be ready for it. For now, though, as we have increasingly said, it will now be up to you, more than ever, to make the right decisions. It will be for you to decide where you are comfortable being and who you are being comfortable with. And if you do want to keep people at arm's length for the time being, then that is for you to decide. You know your own personal situation better than the government does. This includes those who are clinically vulnerable or extremely vulnerable, who will have received a letter from the Department of Health and Social Care earlier this week. But government has decided that given the incredibly low risk or quite possible zero risk that we currently face, as shown by 22 days with no cases, it is right for us to take this most important step out of your lives. We will still need you to remember the basics. Even with this brighter outlook, if you feel you have the flu-like symptoms, you must stay at home. Call 111, who may want to test you. If you cough or sneeze, we still want you to do it in a tissue or in the crook of your arm. We will still want you to wash your hands over and over again. We still want you to keep your wits about you. There is a serious global pandemic out there. But if you and those who you live with feel 100% and you feel comfortable doing so, then we want you to get out and about and return to living your life as normal as possible. The basics got us here. Even if we were able to remove the need for social distancing, the basics will be no less important. So what is left? I think that there are three main areas: borders, gatherings, and the rest of the leisure and hospitality sector. So firstly, borders. Closing the borders at the end of March is what has allowed us to get through this pandemic so well. And it has been what has allowed us to open up our society and our economy so soon. We are keeping a close eye on what does appear to be a steadily improving situation in the United Kingdom and many other countries. The Council of Ministers will discuss borders formally towards the end of June. But to be clear, we are not ready to make significant changes to the borders yet. Secondly, on the question of the rest of leisure and hospitality, so pubs, clubs, theatres, cinemas, and the last aspects of sport. In light of our current situation, the Council of Ministers is minded to remove all remaining restrictions sooner rather than later. We are doing some detailed consultations, including with the industry where this is important, on how soon that may be able to happen. And I hope to be able to make announcements earlier next week in order to give people enough time to prepare. We will also be refreshing all of our guidance. We will do this as soon as possible. But be ready for guidance that is far more general than you have seen before. Less about us telling you what to do and more about things for you to consider. And thirdly, we know that we may need to make changes to what we have referred to as gatherings. This is the people you can have in your home and people you can meet with outdoors. The Council of Ministers will be discussing this on Monday. If you could please keep to the 2 inside, 30 outside over this weekend, and I hope to have positive news for you early next week. I know there has been a lot here, and I will be making a statement to Timwald on Tuesday. I hope by then I will have been able to give full clarity on when we will be lifting those last remaining restrictions on our island. We are boldly heading towards our new Manx normal, and I expect to get there before the end of June. I am now happy to take questions, and first today is Simon Richardson from Business 365. Over to you, Simon.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. Obviously, fantastic news for everybody that normality is returning, albeit relatively slowly. In terms of the hospital, obviously, I hear that the clinics are reopening there in July. On average, do we know how long it will take to restore waiting times to where they were pre-coronavirus?
Right, I'd probably be better to hand that over to the Minister for Health and Social Care. It is obviously going to take some time, but I know they will be working on this. David?
Yes, it's going to take a good period of time, Simon. I've been honest about this the whole way along. There are certain treatments we haven't been able to perform or services we haven't been able to remain turned on during the pandemic. Naturally, of course, not only have we got the waiting list that was there before, but the waiting lists that have been built up. In some areas, we are looking to what we can do with existing resource to try and bring that waiting list down. But it's not going to be a quick process. I'm going to be perfectly honest about that. It is going to take time in order to do that. In terms of the clinics, some of the clinics we believe will be turned on earlier than July. As I announced 2 weeks ago with the Back to Health document, we have actually been able to move certain things forward. So, for instance, there's been some capsule endoscopies that have already been taking place, and certain other clinics have already been able to do face-to-face appointments. So we are already moving on that. We're not just waiting another month. And I'll be able tomorrow at the press conference to be able to fill in more around the Back to Care element, which I think I explained was the second half of that a few weeks ago.
Thank you very much, David. I think
Thank
I would
you.
Like
and
to
once
add
again for you, Minister.
So if I can just finish off on that one, Simon, I'd like to point out that it won't be a case, you know, because some people will think, well, you can just bring in extra staff to catch up. Every country in the world will be in exactly the same position as the Isle of Man, and therefore there's not going to be a massive surplus of staff in another country to bring in to help us with the backlog. So we will have to look at innovative ways out of this, which I'm sure David and his team will, of course, be working at. But we have to be blunt with people and say it's not going to be an easy fix. Your second question, Simon.
Yeah, it's again for Mr. Ashworth, if I may, Chief Minister. Yeah. The coronavirus has been blamed for, I think it's a 60% fall in cancer referrals in the UK. Do we know if this has been mirrored in the Isle of Man at all?
On the data I've seen so far, Simon, no, it hasn't. We haven't seen a huge uptake in referrals. Our referral rate has been steady. Obviously, because of some procedures, particularly around screening, which we had to stop, there has been a backlog in terms of people being screened. But in terms of actual referrals in, the data I've seen has not seen any form of uptake in that sense. Certainly not anywhere near 60%.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon. We now move on to Josh Stokes from ITV. Good afternoon, Josh. Foster Myers.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. First question, can you give us some insight into what has brought on the change from going from 1 metre to no social distancing rules? Why now, when it was going to be 1 metre originally?
Well, I think we've looked, had a good hard look at the evidence. We're 22 days without any cases. The only way spread can come onto the island is through the borders. We intend to maintain border controls for quite some time going forward. And it's really important that we get our society back to normal. The Great Manx public have worked really hard to get us where we are. We're in a good position. And but we're seeing cracks. We're seeing people's mental health worsening. We're seeing social isolation. We're also seeing businesses struggling to follow the 2 metre, then the 1 metre rule. And we looked at it and thought, right, we are in this good position. We can be bold, because the only way the virus can now come onto the island is through border restrictions, through a relaxation of those border restrictions. So obviously we are allowing people onto the island, but we are keeping them to take 14 days to quarantine before they can mix with people on the island. So that gives us good protection. So the idea is now we're 22 days, we'll be even nearly a month when we open up. That's a good period of time. We need to get on. We need to get our lives back to normal. And the sooner we can do this, the better. Clear evidence showing we're in a good position. So let's just get on with it. And your next question, Josh.
Yeah, my second question is, now that there are no active cases and changes are being made to the original timetable, will we now see a refreshed roadmap, or perhaps a further medium-term or longer-term response document showing where the island may now be heading in future?
Yes, we're Council of Ministers today looked at alterations and staged approaches for our borders, and we're not looking for quite some time, unless a vaccine suddenly comes out of nowhere, on how we will be making changes to that, and we will be publishing that. We've got another meeting on Monday to discuss that very issue. Once we've got clear roadmaps, we will be sending probably a news drop to all members of the public showing the situation now, and if we get a few cases and we go above an average that we're unhappy with, what we'll have to do and what it will look like, and equally where we see the border situation going. We can't give an end date, that's unknown, but because there are so many variables that are outside of our control, number of cases in the United Kingdom being one, and how far a vaccine is away. But yes, we will be giving the public as much detail as possible, Josh.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And next we have is Chris Cave from Energy FM. Good afternoon, Chris. Faster Mai.
Good afternoon, Minister. With travel on compassionate grounds now being eased, who is dealing with the applications for on and off island travel, and how strictly is it being vetted?
Well, it's the repatriation team who are doing an incredibly hard job. It's a tough job, an awful lot of work, and I cannot praise them enough for the really hard job that they're doing. They're still having to work 7 days a week on this. Obviously, we are looking at ways of streamlining the repatriation process and travel from a compassionate point of view all the time, and movement for local residents. So this is something we're working on, and I hope to be able to, towards sometime next week, be able to make further announcements on what work we've done to ease the situation, to make the repatriation as simple as possible for our people and also for our officers involved, who are doing a sterling job.
But as you mentioned just before, the only way you can conceive of the virus coming back to the Isle of Man is from across the border. So if someone, for instance, says they want to visit an extremely unwell parent on the island, is that checked, or is the application just approved straight away?
Oh, no, it's checked to make sure that person is vulnerable and they are a family member. So, yes, and that's why it takes so long. I know there's frustration from some people that they don't get a response within, say, 24 hours, etc. But these checks are thorough. And whilst it's got us by for this time being, where, of course, I've said all along, we are looking at ways of improving the experience and the efficiency of how we allow our people to move. We want to be make it as easy as possible, effectively. It's going to be a while before we can totally open the borders and there's free movement. We all like to see that as soon as possible, but we have to be realistic. But anything that we can do to improve the situation, to streamline it, and that's what we're working on at the moment, and I hope to be able to announce something next week on that. But it's all about taking steps. We've taken a major step today. We'll be one of the first in the world to announce the social distancing down to zero from Monday. So I think let's have that as a step, look around, look at the data, see what happens, and then we can make further announcements when we're comfortable to do so, Chris.
If I could just add, Chief Minister, as well, the important thing to remember, Chris, is that those even coming in on compassionate grounds, the isolation rules still apply to them. So it's not a case of they're simply coming backwards and forwards to the island, unable to go out into the community. There is strict isolation rules around compassionate travel.
Okay, thank you. And also, how will this removal of a social distancing requirement affect people going into shops or frequenting cafes, restaurants, like?
Well, it means they won't have to follow those rules from the from Monday. Shops, restaurants, cafes. But where we are keeping the restrictions is in social care, hospitals, in anything to do with medical, so dentistry where possible, and our care homes and nursing homes, that will have to continue. We're advising people to, look, we were going to move to 1 metre. If you feel more comfortable with 1 metre when you're out and about, that's fine. That's for you to decide. But from Monday the 15th, the social distancing for the vast majority of the public will be removed from the 2 metres down to 0 metres. I don't know if you want to add anything, David, from a medical point of view?
No, I mean, obviously, a medical setting is where we see the most vulnerable people in society, within the care home environment as well. And I think it is commonsensical to keep the PPE requirements and other processes we've worked up in place for the time being, because what we don't want is, if cases do start emerging again in the island, them to be starting to emerge in that setting. So it is absolutely crucial that we do keep those processes in place, at least for now.
And just for 100% clarification then, people from Monday will no longer have to queue outside of shops?
It will be it will be up to the shop. If the shop feels comfortable keeping that social distancing in place, then that's absolutely fine. But it would be guidance, and it would be up to the shop to decide whether they wanted to revert to what you would term business as normal, or if they believe they have a system that works and they wish to keep that system in place. It will be entirely their choice.
It's back to the people having the choice. Rather, we will give guidelines, best advice, but it really is up to people. The people of the island have got us to where we are, and we are now trusting them to get on with their lives, but taking into account that there is still a pandemic across the rest of the world. So, last but not least, we have Alex Wootton from Manx Radio. Fastamai,
hi. So with the talking about care homes and maintaining the social distancing within hospitals and to the highly vulnerable, whilst that is understandably going to remain in place, is there any changes to visitation rights? We have been contacted with a few people concerned that people receiving end-of-life care, obviously it's very distressing for families. Could this mean a change in when people can go to care homes, go and see relatives at the hospice?
I'll pass that one over to David.
Yes, around DHSC facilities, I did announce a change to visitation. I lose track of the days now, Alex, but I think it was either Thursday or Friday last week that we have changed our visitation policy. Obviously, in terms of private care homes, etc., and hospice, which of course is a separate entity as well, it is what they are comfortable with. DHSC shares our guidance with them, but whether they wish to actually go down the route of relaxing their policies is entirely a choice of theirs. I've seen some very good innovative solutions. There was one particular care home that I know has been arranging outside visits, a sort of drive-through visit where people can talk to their relatives. But it is important we do keep some visitor restrictions in place. We are constantly reviewing the situation, but the guidance that I announced either Thursday or Friday last week, we are sticking with for the time being.
Okay. We've also heard recently about residual cases of COVID-19. So people that have the virus or have had it, so they're still part of the 336 total, but are currently isolating or shielding. How many of this kind are there at the moment? Last we heard, there were three.
So this is referring to, so it's not residual cases as such, it's something that's called persistent shedding. So what we know is COVID-19 is a bit unique compared to many other viruses. As viruses shed out of the system, basically it doesn't mean they're active cases, it doesn't mean that they are contagious. The person is a previously positive case that is just still a persistent shedder of the virus. So to give absolute clarity around that, the individual is not infectious or a transmission risk, with viral cultures showing that it is dead cells that are being shed. So they're not classed as an active case. So basically, having had the virus and recovered, their body shed cells in which traces of spent virus can be detected by a PCR test. So what is being detected by PCR is the viral RNA. So basically, it's picking up non-infectious viral debris, not the infectious virus. That's not something that's unique to us. This is something that's been seen around the world. And one which I've raised, I think I've spoken about this press conference before, quite a long while ago now, was South Korea, where there was the panic where 200 people had tested negative after they'd had COVID-19. They retested them several weeks later and they proved positive again. And it caused mass panic of, did they have COVID-19 for a second time? When the samples were checked, it was still viral shedding. So that is the that's the key message. So they're not active cases. They're not a transmission risk. But it's just clearly that with COVID-19 in some cases, and they are very exceptional cases, viral shedding can go on for several weeks after symptoms pass.
Thank you very much, Alex.
You did give us you did give the figure of three. Sorry, can you just tell us how many
Three. There's only three. And it's an anomaly of COVID-19. So it's just one of those things. We've been very clear. Our expert medical consultant has spoken to the three people to explain to them the situation. They're not infectious, and it's business as normal for them. It's just an anomaly that the COVID-19 has thrown up. And the Isle of Man is not unique. As David has said, South Korea had a couple of hundred. If you look at their population and the millions, and therefore R3 is probably about right. So nothing unusual. Josh, did you want to come back in with a question? And because I've announced fairly big measures, I'm more than happy to take a question from each of you again. So Josh, would you like to come in?
Thanks, Chief Minister. Yeah, just a question on speed limits and the all-island speed limit. Is there any changes there now following the social distancing announcement as well?
Well, obviously, on Monday, the speed limit goes up to 60 miles per hour. We took advice from our chief constable, who felt that if everyone's been used to driving at 40, and they've really kept to that, and thank you all very much, then if we suddenly released it straight away, it could cause a number of serious accidents. That was the worry. So obviously, on Monday, it goes up to 60, and we would hopefully totally lift it by the end of the month. So that's obviously under review. If we can do it any quicker, we'll take advice on that, Josh. But that's the situation. Simon, did you have another question?
Yes, if I may, Chief Minister, just for clarification, we talk about pubs and clubs and what have you. People who are maybe hosting dinner parties in their own home, are there restrictions still on the numbers of people that can attend those?
Yes. Thank you for raising that again, Simon. It's good to clarify that for the time being, and it is only for the time being, we will be giving advice next week on this. It still is 2 in, 30 out. So please stick to that for the time being. But obviously, it's more complex, and we need to make sure that we get the guidelines right. But we will be making announcements next week on changes that we hope to make in that area, Simon. And Chris, do you have another question?
Thank you.
Yeah, we've heard the words unprecedented times mentioned no end over the last few months, and no active cases on the Isle of Man, no new confirmed cases in more than 3 weeks now. You must be pleased that the situation hasn't got anywhere near as bad as we've seen in other jurisdictions. What are the key lessons that you've learned from this pandemic so far that will stand good stead, whether there's a second wave of coronavirus or there's a similar situation that occurs years down the line?
Well, first and foremost is test, test, test and trace, trace, trace. That's something we did straight away. We've set that mechanism up now. We had to start from scratch an awful lot of areas, so that the testing regime had to be, well, we had a basic system in for disease outbreaks of TB, scarlet fever, etc. on the island, but we've had to massively ramp that up. having the 111 hotline. We'd never done anything like that before. So we've got that up. It's set up now. We've got the algorithms for running that type of system. So that's really key. I think one of the things we did right was go in hard early. Find out if you've got an invisible enemy, you've got to get in there early and flatten it. Find out where it is, and then you can start to ease off situations. But by the testing and tracing, that has to be the key things which we have set up, and we can quickly reactivate if we need to, if we should have a secondary wave. And we can't be complacent. It's still out there. It's still around the world. We're in a good position. But if we become complacent and we don't take steps in a proper staged manner, then we could see a second stage come to the island. So we have to make sure we get this right. I don't know if you want to add anything, David.
No, I just to echo those words, Chief Minister, I think from my point of view, there's three key things. Where there's the track and trace, there's the borders, and there's the very quick measures around social distancing and gathering limits. Those are the three that stand out to me that I think have absolutely massively managed to suppress the virus much better than we could ever dreamed of. And that's me with my usual cautious hat on.
Yes, if you'd said to me 6 weeks ago we'd be in the position now, I'd have seized it from you, but I just wouldn't have believed that. So we're in a good position, but we're still asking people to be cautious, to wash their hands, and if they are able to, you know, think about keeping distance from others that they don't know. But with that, we can move on now. Alex Wotton. Sorry, did you have another question, Alex?
Yeah, just a quick one. I just wondered how many people are still being quarantined at the Comus Hotel.
Right, I'm not aware.
In terms of quarantine, Alex, there's no one because we ended quarantine. People are able to self-isolate. People as of yesterday, if my dates serve me correct, are able to self-isolate at home with family as well. So there were some people who chose to use the Comus, although they didn't have to use the Comus. They could choose other areas approved by the department to self-isolate when the rule was in around them not being able to return to an already occupied home. But that changed yesterday, if my dates are correct, where people now entering can return to an occupied home as well. There hasn't been enforced quarantine for quite a number of weeks now.
But voluntary then? There's no one there at the moment voluntarily?
I wouldn't have those figures because it's a matter for the individual to notify the department where they would be staying. The Comus is not the only option for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you all very much for your questions. I won't do any shout-outs this evening, but one thing I have to do is wish my good fellow Kit Michael expat, Mr. Dave Molyneux, known to many of us as Molly, all the very best, as tomorrow is Senior Race Day, and he and other members of our community will tackle the TT course on bicycle. Now, I did ask him if he was going to do it on a tricycle, but he laughed. Now, they're all doing all of this to raise money for the Manx Solidarity Fund, and I've been assured that they will be reaching incredible speeds approaching 30 miles an hour. Though I don't think that we will see any lap records being made this year. They have a Just Giving page, so do go and check that out, and please support them and the team. I made an undertaking to you that as soon as it was safe to do so, we would step out of your lives. We think the time is now right to make these changes. No one can say that there is absolutely no risk, but your incredible commitment and committed efforts have given us an island that is as safe as it can possibly be. The rest is up to you, up to you to decide who you allow into your home and your personal space, up to you to decide where you are comfortable going, up to you to decide. Keep on making the responsible decisions for you and your loved ones. I won't be doing a conference tomorrow, so have a great weekend and please stay safe. Thank you all very much.